Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
This is Michael Harlan Turkel, host of The Food Scene. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Deadspin.com. And my guest today is Freddie Hernandez. Welcome back, Freddie.
Hello.
Freddie writes about buying and selling cool cars on the internet for Jalopnik, under the pen name Tavarish. Loyal listeners will remember Freddie from season one when he told us what to do if and when a pound of butter melts on our car seat.
You get a new car seat was the answer,
unfortunately. Hopefully that won't happen to you, though it has happened to at least two of my readers that I know of. And today he is back once again to help me out with some more listener questions about car interior messes.
Sure.
We're going to get pretty gnarly.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get gnarly. The first question is probably the most common car mess question I get.
Okay.
And I bet people can already guess what it is. It has to do with one of my favorite subjects, barf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, car sickness, right? So people get car sick for all kinds of reasons. Mm-hmm. They get car sick just because they get motion sickness.
Mm-hmm.
I get bad motion sickness, not to the point that I actually have to throw up, but I get nausea, and I'm a huge dork who carries C bands in my pocketbook at all times. So in the event that I get into a car or even like a city bus,
right,
and I start getting the
Do those actually work? Because my wife also gets car sick sometimes, and she used to get it a lot worse when she was a kid,
mm-hmm.
but now it's just every, you know, once in a blue moon.
Yep.
But she has these bands, and we frequently go on cruises, and, you know, with the
yep.
rocking of the boat, she puts these things on, and it seems to me like it's a placebo effect, but it has some kind of healing quality, so
yeah.
I'm not sure what the science behind that is.
Yeah, no, they do work. They mm-hmm. do work. I really swear by them. And I'll tell you, actually, years and years ago, a friend of mine was pregnant and was experiencing pretty bad pregnancy nausea and morning sickness because it happened all the time. So I was with her and she was complaining about this, and I said, you know, you should try the C bands. Because they're also recommended for pregnancy-induced nausea. And I had a thing in my bag, and I was like, here, just take mine. I'll go to the drugstore and buy a new set. They cost $2. It's no big deal. So
yeah.
I can give you this. And she said they really worked for her with the pregnancy nausea. So,
but what is it? Is it just like a rubber band with like a little stone in it or something?
So the way that it works, it's sort of like a sweatband, and it's got a little piece of plastic, like a little plastic nub on it. And you put the piece of plastic on a very specific point on your wrist. And what it does is there's some pulse point regulation
mm-hmm.
that the pressure from the nub creates
mm-hmm.
that cures the nausea. They really work, and I do not think it's a placebo effect. I really truly don't.
So if somebody was like a double amputee and didn't have any arms, would they?
Freddie,
I'm just saying.
Let's not get crazy here. We've already gone so far.
If we're
far
being scientific afield. About it, we have to have a control.
I don't know. Listen, go ask Gizmodo. All
okay.
right, that's I'm passing the buck to Gizmodo.
Right,
I don't know anything more than they actually work. So anyway, let's get back to
Sure, sure.
Barfing in car. So I get lots of barfing in car questions because I get just the people who have, you know, run of the mill car sickness type stuff. Mm-hmm. I hear from a lot of people who have kids barf in cars constantly, right?
Like, I think that's all they do.
They do some other things that are equally unpleasant.
Yeah, they put crayons on the seats and
They leave Legos on the floor for us to step on.
Okay, yeah, that's great.
You know, all kinds of terrible things. So then the big one, mm-hmm. right, is that people are overserved,
yes.
as I like to say.
Sure.
They get in the car, hopefully not behind the wheel.
No, definitely
do
not
drive drunk, people. I'm going to get serious here for a second. It's very, very personal to me. My life has been terribly affected by drunk driving. So do not drive drunk, people.
Your face just changed.
Yeah, like, it did. Yeah, right it there. Really. My life was very terribly affected by a drunk driver. So these are the kinds of questions I hear all the time. Puke in car. So we have a great puke in car question today. Freddie actually is he has some doubts about this person's story. So I'm going to get right to it. I'm going to read the question from Casey. I'm going to have Freddie, who is our car expert, mostly do my job for me and tell Casey what to do about this car. Because it's like kind of a weird question. So Casey writes, "Hi, Jolie. The other day, I was riding in a car when I developed a terrible migraine. I tried to warn the driver, but there was nowhere for her to pull over, and I ended up puking all over myself and the interior of her new car. I took her car, a 2015 Honda CRV with cloth interior, right? It's okay. always cloth interior.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it has to be.
to a detail shop the next day, but they refused to shampoo the ceiling. They said it was too likely that the ceiling fabric will start to fall down in the future. They agreed to wipe the ceiling down, but because I did the classic hand over mouth maneuver, the ceiling got the worst of the blowback.
Okay.
Wiping down alone didn't begin to cut it." So she continues. "So is this really a thing, or were the detailers being overcautious? If shampooing really is a no-no, is there anything else I could try? There must be some way to get puke off a car ceiling without having the fabric fall down, right? At the very least, I'd like to be able to give the car owner some options along with a realistic idea of the risks."
Okay. First off, I mean, the story is... it's well crafted. I don't know if I buy the migraine angle. Sure, she could be like a really big water drinker, but more likely if you're projectile vomiting and you hit your hand and it hits it in such an angle that it goes up and on the headliner and it soaks the headliner, probably some drinking involved. But again, I'm not going to cast judgment. I don't know this person. Could be just a huge water drinker. Maybe she had, like, you know, a half gallon of Sunny D.
But here's the thing. What, right? So this, my Ask a Clean Person's been around for almost 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the title of my book alone should tell you what kinds of questions I get.
Oh, yeah.
And what kinds of questions I run. If she had been drinking, mm-hmm. she would have just said so. Cause it's not like
sure.
My column is a judgment free zone. Mm. My podcast is judgment free to the extent that I can control my guest. Freddie is out of control. He's casting judgment on my poor listeners and readers. It's terrible. I apologize to all of you. It's so mean.
Okay.
I just think for that reason, I just don't think she has a reason to lie.
Point taken and giving her the benefit of the doubt. Okay. Let's just say that she,
either way, it happened.
There's a lot of liquid. There's a lot of liquid involved. It wasn't Campbell's chunky soup, right? The reason why you can't clean a headliner if you go to a detail shop and they go, "We can't clean it," is because a headliner, especially on the CRV, it's going to be a cardboard backing or some kind of cardboard like material with a glue layer and then a fabric layer.
Okay.
If you have like a cardboard box and then you soak it in water or you soak it in anything, there's no way you can get anything out of that cardboard box. Like you can't clean that cardboard box to its original, you know, specs. So
it's cardboard.
Yeah, it's cardboard. So you're not getting that out. The fabric you can probably get out with like a steam cleaner and a microfiber towel over it, and then you can agitate it a little bit. But if it gets past that layer of glue and gets into the cardboard, you're never getting out.
Right. And headliners, we should say, because I think a lot of people don't spend a lot of time thinking about the headliners on a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's very thin material.
It's very thin material, and also since odors tend to go up, they absorb everything. So all the little indiscretions that you might have, you know, on a long road trip, you know, little farts here and there, that all goes, you know, into the headliner if it doesn't go directly into the seat.
Right.
So those things, they're super absorbent usually, but they're not made to handle a large load of liquid or whatever.
Right.
So what I would suggest is, I actually looked this up. It's a 2015 TRV. The 2012 to 2015, they're identical.
Okay.
So you can get a headliner off of eBay for about $150 to $200.
Okay.
Which is around the same amount of money that you would pay for a good detailing.
Okay.
It's pretty easy to take off. It, with the CRV, you just pop the back hatch, I guess it would be, and you just remove some bolts, and it slides right out, and you put the new one in. Any shop can do it. It's pretty straightforward.
I mean, I feel like I could do that.
Yeah, you could definitely do it. I mean, if you have a screwdriver, maybe like a small socket wrench with like a 10-millimeter socket, you'll be fine.
You're good to go.
Yeah, you're good to go.
Okay. All right. So, Casey, we hope that's helpful. I think that that is very helpful. I think that's a concrete answer. It gives the dollar amount that this is going to cost to fix.
Right.
It's not actually going to be that much more than you would have paid to actually have the car cleaned. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that is very helpful to Casey. We have, because I was going to be a fast answer and I sort of knew it, I'm gonna spring a question on Freddie.
Sure.
This is always fun. Let's see how good he really is, because he had time to prepare for that one.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving
him... I had
several
weeks and I did 40 hours of research.
I'm not giving him very much time to prepare for this one, because this question mm-hmm. came in via Twitter
okay.
while I was on the subway to head out to the studio this morning.
What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle?
Yeah. What's the Twitter handle that people can reach at?
At Jolie Care.
Okay.
JOLIEKERR at Jolie Care.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for asking that. Yes. Follow me on Twitter. I'm very diligent about answering questions that people ask of me on Twitter. Oftentimes, I just sort of shoot a link over because it's something I've written about before, but right. people find it sort of a helpful way. I tend to get a lot of like panicked mm-hmm. tweets, which this one is a panicked tweet. So you're
just,
it's a day in the life of Jolie right now. So at Glibgirl tweeted at me less than an hour ago, literally. She tweets, at Jolie Care, 911. Exclamation point.
It's like a beeper so in the 90s. 911, call back now.
Got any ideas to get skunk smell out of car? My uncle trapped one from our yard and drove it out to the woods, and ew.
Well, okay.
So I have some ideas, yeah. but I bet Freddie also has some ideas. I suspect this is going to be a collaboration effort.
Yeah, I mean, we can bounce ideas off each other. Yeah. First off, I want to say kudos to the uncle for doing the humane thing. I'm thinking about it now, and I don't see any other way that you could take a skunk out of your vicinity without, you know, being unnecessarily cruel to it. And if you're just getting away with it with just having a stinky car, I think, you know, it's good on you. But to get a skunk smell out of a car, it depends on, you know, if the skunk was scared and it was spraying everything, again, that's liquid. So it's going to be really hard to get that out of cloth surfaces. You can use a steam cleaner. You can use like a deep, like a carpet shampooer.
Mm-hmm.
And those
like your little green machine
yeah,
that
yeah,
you
Yeah, the little
love.
Green machine yeah. works well. You'll need some concentrated carpet shampoo. You,
right.
you don't usually want to dilute it like three times or four parts water to one part carpet shampoo, but this you might want to do two parts or something, just a little bit more diluted, concentrated.
Right.
And that will get all the stains and get all the odors out of, you know, all the cloth surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
To get the odor out of the air... Well, because I assume that there's going to be odor in the, you know, the vents and stuff like that.
Oh God!
Yeah, there's. Odor.
I didn't even think about the vents.
Yeah, the vents.
Oof.
Yeah, that's a little.
Don't guys.
Nobody talks about that, right?
Guys, don't put a skunk in the car, okay?
Don't put a skunk in a car.
I don't know what the answer is for what to do with the skunk, and I'm not advocating
catapult.
I'm not. Yeah, catapult the skunk. Don't do that. Please, yeah. Don't get the animal lovers after me. I don't know what it is that one should do with the skunk, but I do know that putting it in the car is not the answer. Maybe I'll try to figure out what to do.
Yeah, that's actually a logistical nightmare.
Yeah,
but
I'm going to look into this and try to do a follow up.
But in any case, there's stuff that you can do, like a home remedy to get odors out. You could put a bunch of cut lemons in a bowl and just leave it overnight. That usually picks up some of the odors,
right? Because the acid in citrus, mm-hmm, will counteract the odor,
right,
which is base,
right?
So, alkaline. So anyway, I want to throw in. So here's where my expertise comes in.
Sure,
the citrus is going to be not strong enough. Get an odor absorber like the Bad Air sponge or mm-hmm, like one of the Interfresh activated charcoal products that I mention often. The Interfresh products, they actually make a car auto odor eliminator. The products they're really all the same. They're just sort of marketed for different uses. And as a reminder, if you do want to buy those Interfresh products, you can get a 20% discount at checkout using the code JolieCleanPerson, all one word. Yeah, that's a very handy little thing to know. But the Bad Air sponge is also another good one. You can just set that in the car, overnight. It may take, because skunk is so...
It's going to take a little while.
You may have to leave the sponge in there for a while, but that's fine because it's a low touch, mm-hmm, solution.
Yes.
The other thing is when you were talking about the carpet shampoo, mm-hmm, I have another suggestion of a solution that could be used,
sure,
in lieu of the standard carpet shampoo that would be perfectly fine. It would be very safe. There, Nature's Miracle, which keen-eared listeners will remember me mentioning often when I talk about pet messes and also just generally like pukey messes, because it's enzymatic-based. Nature's Miracle makes a skunk odor eliminator that's just very specific for a skunk odor. Wow. So you could certainly go buy that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the like folk remedy of tomato juice, right? That's how you wash the dog in when the dog gets sprayed. It's not going to work for this because it's going to stain.
Yeah.
You can't wash the car in tomato juice.
Then you're going to have a car smelling like skunk and tomato juice.
And looking like tomato juice. So, yeah. But there are liquid products out there that are not tomato juice that are specifically for skunk odor eliminating. So I think that's what the... uncle has to do here. I think he's got to get some of that Nature's Miracle stuff, put it into the little steamer or the little green machine or whatever it is that they can get their hands on, mm-hmm, clean all of the fabric surfaces, and then work on either one of those activated charcoal or Bad Air sponge type things,
sure,
for sucking the odor out of the rest
of the car. I wish I knew this when I was 19, because I was driving my mom's car and out of nowhere a skunk just ran into the middle of the road and I swerved to avoid him, but he went right under my right front tire.
And that skunk had a death wish.
It just
wanted to die.
Apparently it blew up or something. It was just disgusting.
Oof.
And my mom's car smelled like skunk for no less than a month. I went to car washes, like everything is just skunk nastiness underneath the car.
It's a very difficult odor.
Why would nature
odor
do this? Why would you do this, Mother Nature? You're supposed to be our friend.
A cruel and, to me at least, hilarious sense of humor, I think.
She's an uncaring mistress.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, listen, Freddie, this is a good time for us to take a quick break, and
sure,
then we will come back with another question about car cleanup. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. We will be right back.
Still paying attention? Are you there? Hello, 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 hello. I'm talking to you. Hi. Hey, this is Jack Inslee. I'm the executive producer here at Heritage Radio Network. I've been here at the station since 2009, and I cannot believe just how much this network has grown over that time. We've been able to grow because of donations from people like you. So if you're enjoying this, if you laughed, if you learned something, contribute anything. $1, $2, $10, $100, $1,000, anything counts. And trust me, we'll appreciate seeing your name come through on the donations. So consider visiting heritageradionetwork.org, click on that little beating heart, the donate button, and show us you care. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. My guest today is Jalopnik Spready Hernandez.
Hello.
We've been talking about car messes.
Yep.
As we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like, it's like the middle of our personal Venn diagram, right? You're the car guy.
Well, everyone.
I'm the mess gal.
Everyone deals with messes, and everyone probably deals with a car at some point in their life.
Right. Unless you're me.
Yeah.
Who does not.
Well, unless you live in New York, in which nobody deals with cars.
Right,
but for the 99% of the world, they usually deal with a car in some shape or form.
Most of them do, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. So speaking of not dealing with cars, this actually... I live in New York now, but I grew up in Boston. I didn't deal with cars there either, which is... Listen, if you can avoid dealing with a car in Boston...
Yeah.
You should. Which I think everybody knows.
Oh, yeah.
Which leads us perfectly into question two from Brian, who's from Boston.
Okay.
And this is a wicked Boston question, too. I love it. I love, love, love it. I'm going to say wicked a whole bunch in this second segment. We're going to have a lot of fun. All right. So here goes Brian. Apparently, all the hard accelerating, braking, and turning that's required for navigating roads in and around Boston busted the cap on the jug of windshield wiper fluid I had in my trunk.
Okay.
The cap popped off and the seal broke and proceeded to empty at least 3/4 of the jug all over the back of my Golf, which also seeped into the back seats. You can see a line of demarcation for how far it migrated into the seats. But cloth seats again, always, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then he continues, because Rain-X is supposed to be a bit water phobic, how do I clean it up and get rid of the headache-inducing smell from my car?
Okay, that's an interesting question. Brian, is it?
Brian.
Yeah, Brian, you're my kind of guy, because the hard accelerating, hard braking that you have to do in Boston, I'm sure it takes a toll. But
Freddie, have you ever driven Boston?
No, I have not.
All right.
I've been up around like the Rhode Island area, but I don't think I've ever... I took the train from Rhode Island to Boston, and that's as much as I have been in that city.
Here's a free idea for Jalopnik for one of your great video series. So, hey, you guys, Jalopnik does a really great video series. They just are like...
They're doing tremendous things.
Amazing. So you should check those out. So you should have someone filming you trying to drive in Boston.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just feel like it would be hilarious to see someone like a person who's an expert driver.
Yeah.
Being
and then you can race them against someone who's on foot.
Yeah. Being challenged by the streets in Boston. So anyway, yeah.
Sure. So Brian's issue is that he has Rain-X all over his back seat. Rain-X is there's water and then there's like this this chemical. It's polymer based. What you have to do to break apart that polymer is just with anything, just heat. So what I would do is a low water steam cleaner.
Okay.
Like I think Bissell sells one. I remember I bought one, either Bissell or Wagner. It's about $80-$85.
Okay.
And it does really, it uses a small amount of water. And it's great for stuff like this. It's great for cloth interior. Usually for Rain-X, there is water in it, so the water in your seat, you're not going to have to worry about it. It's just that polymer, that's what makes that stench.
Mm-hmm.
So just hit it with like a microfiber towel. There's an attachment that comes with that steam cleaner, and you put a microfiber towel over it, agitate it a little bit, just like what we had with the headliner.
Okay.
You know, the theoretical solution to that problem if, it wasn't complete, liquid nonsense. So what he has to do is just agitate it with a steam cleaner. He'll get most of it out, if not all of it.
Okay.
And then maybe a degreaser or just something to break that up because, again, it's polymer-based. It's not that it's water-phobic. It's that the way Rain-X works, it creates a layer with the glass itself.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, it works with the glass to beat up on the glass. So that's why the water kind of... it's like if you put an oil slick on your windshield, water's not going to
It's just going to beat up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just going to beat up.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'd just use a Wagner or Bissell steam cleaner.
Okay.
They're cheap. Yeah.
All right. That's it. And you didn't have to replace a seat, which has been your answer for basically everything else. Like, just replace it.
Well, usually it's...
But it's good that you say that, because here's the thing. I mean, I'll tell you that my natural instinct when people send these questions in is not... replace it. But actually what I've learned from you from having you here today and having you on last season and just from talking to you, because I use Freddie as a resource because he's great at what he does and he's incredibly knowledgeable, is that actually oftentimes the instinct should be, should I replace this before, should I clean this?
Yes.
Because oftentimes the replacement part is less expensive than you anticipate.
Well,
the reinstallation is easier, and the whole thing is going to cost you less in terms of both time and money to just replace the darn thing rather than fussing with trying to clean it and find the right way and spending hours and spending lots of money.
Honestly, with the Golf that Brian has... The Golf is an incredibly cheaply made car, and I don't say that in jest or anything. I actually have a Jetta, and the parts are really easy to come by. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to get a whole new back seat, you can do it for less than $100. It comes out with a screwdriver and a socket wrench.
Wow,
it's super easy. You can get it out in 5 minutes if you wanted to.
That's great. I mean, the thing is, I wouldn't have known. Before you entered my life, how inexpensive it is to replace car seats. I mean, I hear that and I think,
It depends on the car. If it's like a Bentley Continental, it's like, all right, you might want to clean it first.
Listen, if you have a Bentley Continental, you got a class seat. I have talked to you about a whole lot of other life choices you've made. All right. So listen, we actually have these were really good questions.
Yeah.
And the fact that the answers were short is not an indication at all that they weren't great questions. It's just that actually the fix is blessedly easy.
Yeah, the solutions are quite easy.
Which is great. Yeah. So we have a little bit more time. It's still quite unseasonably warm here in New York.
Yeah.
I'm in sandals and short sleeves today. It's weird. But
I'm
winter,
waiting for that crossover until it goes from 60 to 20.
It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. So, winter is coming. In New York and Westeros.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
is that a new borough?
I think it's well worth asking you a couple questions just about what products do you like for winterizing a car? Mm-hmm. What sort of thing? What do you keep in your trunk?
Well, what I keep in my trunk, it's a little bit different than what other people would keep in their trunk. I drive a Mercedes S500 every day. It's a cheap. I bought it for $3,000 and kind of just fixed it up as I used it. But I keep a aluminum jack, an aluminum racing jack, because the stock scissor jack, if you have a puncture or like a tire blowout, the stock scissor jack that you use in any car, those are just bad. They're really, really bad. They can collapse under pressure. If the car's on an angle, they can fall. So I just got an aluminum racing jack from Harbor Freight. It was like $80. I have a stash of fluids. So I have a quart of oil, a quart of transmission fluid, just in case. You never know what might happen.
Okay.
I have some cleaning products, just some interior detail spray.
Tell me what they are. Give me names.
Okay. Well, I have Meguiar's. I can't remember everything. I know the on the exterior I have Meguiar's M105, which is like a deep cut. That's if I have, I park in a lot of places, so sometimes you get scuff marks and some people don't leave a note. So I have Meguiar's M105 and a microfiber towel, and you just get some M105 on there. It's very it's a deep cut abrasive.
Okay.
And it's like a rubbing compound. So you can take out any scuffs, and I also have Meguiar's M205, which is like a finishing polish.
Okay.
So it'll make it look brand new if you just hit it with those.
Fascinating.
Strips. Yeah.
I've never even heard of these things.
Yeah, they're actually pretty expensive. I think a quart is like $32.
Oh wow, that is expensive.
Yeah, but it's like the best in the industry. It's what I recommend. There's also I have a Colonite 845 wax. Which has to be heated. Like you have to run it under a faucet for like 5 minutes in order for it to gel correctly. But it's one of the best waxes you can have.
Okay.
As far as winterizing your car, I would suggest putting a coat of wax on it, like cleaning it well, putting a coat of wax on it just so if there's rain or, some kind of stuff that falls on your car during the fall or winter, That wax will have just that extra level of protection.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing about winterizing your car is you want to work on the mechanicals, the coolant. Make sure your coolant isn't too old. A lot of people think that coolant is just something that nobody ever changes. So if it's been, you know, 2 years or something since your last coolant flush, get it flushed. The glycol in the coolant, it's glycol-based. It tends to wear down over time, and then when it separates from the water can get in the metal components and start corroding things in the engine, and that's when you get bad things happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want bad things happening.
No. What else? The main thing that I can tell you about having a car ready for the winter or any kind of inclement weather, get snow tires, get winter tires. If you need an extra set of wheels, get an extra set of wheels. They don't have to look great, you know, just something that'll last you through the winter. But snow tires are way better. It doesn't matter if your car is all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive. Snow tires will make all the difference.
Okay.
So get an extra set of tires for the winter.
Okay. This is great. This is so helpful. I'm glad we had time for that, because I think I feel like I learned a lot. I mean, well, I'm not going to get out of a car. I'm not going to use any of it. But I think it's really interesting.
We can get you a car.
And, you know, car safety is definitely important to me. As you may have already gleaned.
Yes.
And you know, I'm from Boston. So, last winter.
Oh, yeah.
My friends and family, I was like, are you guys going to be okay?
Especially those in Boston, get snow tires.
Can you stay out of the car? Yes. Can you stay out of the car?
They should have snow tires all year round in Boston. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, Boston. I love you. You're a tricky little lady, but I love you. So listen, on that note, we are ready to wrap up. This was a great, tight little episode. I love it. I love it when that happens. So a big thank you to my guest today.
Thank you.
Freddie Hernandez of Jalopnik. Always a pleasure to have you. Hope to have you come back.
Sure. Anytime.
Yeah, we're a good team. We got a lot of comments after the last one. They were like, You guys are really good together. You should have your own show, or you should do this, and da da da. I was like,
we should have our own show. I wonder how we can do that.
Yeah, well, I'm talking to people about it. I'm trying, you guys. We're gonna be the new Car Talk.
Let's do that.
That's what we're gonna be one of these days. Thank you also to my engineer Liz Smith and to our sponsor, the Wisconsin Cheese Marketing Board. Today's music was provided by RecTech. And if you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing on iTunes, leaving a rating, and telling all of your pals about this bizarro little cleaning show that you love so very, very much. And of course, thank you to you, my listeners. I'm Jolie Kerr, and this has been Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.